is abated, went away. Noah's out. God opened the ark. Noah and his family are out of the ark. And this is what starts happening next. In verse 20, it says, "And Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean four-footed animal." I'm going to read this in Amplified Classic. "And of every clean fowl or bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. When the Lord smelled the pleasing odor, a scent of satisfaction to his heart, the Lord said to himself, 'I will never again curse the ground because of man. For the imagination, the strong desire of man's heart is evil and wicked from his youth. Neither will I ever again smite and destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning, Lord, to be here, Father God, and come together with my brothers and sisters in our congregation, in our assembly, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to speak your word. I pray, Father God, you speak what you've given to me in my heart, Lord, with clarity as you've given it to me. And I thank you for your word, Lord, and all your wonderful, mighty blessings each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, what I want you to notice is we've heard Genesis 8:22 a lot, and I'm not going to talk about finances. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with talking about finances in Genesis 8:22 because it's a promise to us. It has to do with seed time and harvest. But I want you to think about this. Every single born-again person in this room, this congregation, is a harvest of the seed of a ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If Brother Scotty and Sister Teresa had not been a harvest of the seed of the ministry of the Restoration Church, Faith Restoration Church in Coleman, they would not be here at Faithway Christian Center for God's plan for them today. If they were not here, if it's not here, Brother Richard might not be here. And Brother Richard wasn't where he was at and invited me, and I brought me and my family, and each and every one of us got here. There was a seed planted, and we're still here. And there's a harvest. Now, when that seed was planted in each and every one of us, we are supposed to use it to the glory of the Lord and Jesus Christ and the church and the body and bring a harvest. God's word is meant, is seed, and it is meant to be a harvest. And hopefully I can do that in the time I show you what I've got, in the time I've got today. But if you notice, what I want to concentrate on, if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, God was handing out the judgment because of the sin, first to the serpent, then to the woman, then to the man. When he got to Adam, he said, "Because of you, I have cursed the ground." Now, I want you to notice what it says in verse 21. When the Lord, and also, I want you, no, let's go back to verse 20. The first thing Noah did whenever he got out of the ark was what? He built an altar. He worshiped. Worship, praise. God pays attention to that. Because it says when after Noah did it, what does it say in verse 21? And when the Lord smelled the pleasing odor. Now, I looked up that word smelled because in our human minds, you know, the word smelled's got to do with this. But if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, it just means, have you ever went somewhere and whenever you smelled something that was pleasing to you, went like that? Now, to us, that's how we see it with our senses. But to God, he did it as in seeing Noah's heart. That was satisfaction to him. He smelled and seen the worship. And like I said, it's really hard for man sometimes when it comes to scripture and spiritual things to make that line between how God is and how we are. But ever how God done it, it was pleasing to him. It was pleasing to him as a scent of satisfaction to his heart, is what it says in Amplified Classic. So, your worship does not go unnoticed if it's from the heart. God judges the heart. And when you have worship like that, God loves it. So whenever he did see that, he said, Now remember I said back in Genesis chapter 3, he told Adam, said, I'm going to curse the ground because of you. The words actually say for man's sake, but that's what it means. And here he says again, he says, I will never again curse the ground because of man. Now, the words after that says, for the imagination and the wicked intent of his heart is to do evil continually. Man didn't change. But because of Noah's worship and Noah's heart. Now, at this time, there are 8 people on the ark and they're going to replenish the earth. So, Noah's worship. Now, you might say, well, we still live in a cursed world. That's true. But for a born-again Christian, the ground is not cursed because of us. And I read that late last night. I said, hallelujah, praise God, because I had one of them days where I was, the Lord sent me this way with something. I was praying and getting before him, as Brother Scotty says, and then this one. And when I went this way and I got to read about this, I said, well, praise the Lord. That explains a lot of things. I had a little revelation. That explains why we have life and life more abundantly. It started way back in here in the seed time and harvest when God spoke this. And then, of course, in verse 22, it says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, ever how it applies to a person's life, whether it be seed in the ground for the plants we eat, financial seed we plant, but more importantly, the seeds of ministry of God's Word, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most important seed because that is where we have life. And I got stirred up about 10 o'clock last night and everybody's in bed. So I didn't have nobody to tell at that time. Now the second thing is that I just mentioned that God tells us he will not punish. He says, neither will I ever again smite and destroy every living thing as I've done. That's the second promise. He destroyed the whole earth because of the continual evil in man's heart to always do wickedness. Except for the ones in the ark. Now we all know the story about that. But now he has promised that he's not going to destroy every living thing because of what's in man's heart. In other words, if you want to look at it, you know, if you really want to get way out there and really dig deep, how is he going to do that? Well, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because up to now, he destroyed the whole earth because of the sin of many. Was it the majority? I don't know. But he said all men. Now, but he saved Noah and his family. Now we start off and he says, gives us 2 promises. He's not going to destroy every living thing because of the sin of many. The wicked of many or in all. And now, not only that, there's going to be a way that the ground is not cursed because of us. And I looked at that and I said, I never had seen that before. Thank you, Lord. And verse 22 tells us again, it's the promise of the seed principle. That's where the promise starts. Now, I'm going to show you in Scripture that we've already seen many, 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 many times here. And I praise God that I did because whenever I read that, that's what jumped out at me. Number one, Luke 8:11, please. Travis. All of God's word is seed. It says, we're going to get around to some other scriptures around this. Right now, this is where the parable of the sower and the seed. And Jesus is saying, now the meaning of the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. All of God's word is seed. Matthew 13:24, please. All of God's word will bring a harvest. A good harvest. It says another parable he set before them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed seed and good seed and sowed good seed in his field. That's the parable of the wheat and the tares. The word of God will not sow bad seed. The bad fruit comes from the bad harvest because people won't obey the good seed that comes from the word. And number 3, Psalms 119:160, please. Because all of God's word is just and righteous and truth. So we see God's word is seed. It's always good seed. And the reason it is good seed is because it says the sum of your word is truth. The total of the full meaning of all your individual precepts and every one of your righteous decrees endures forever. So we see that is going on. So all of God's word is seed. All of God's word is will produce a good harvest, depending on, well, it's meant to produce a good harvest. Man is the one that does produce good or bad. And it's a good seed because all of his word is righteous. Every born-again believer, as I said before, is a good harvest of the seeds of ministry of God's word, of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every born-again person. Now, if you're not born again, the seed has been sown in you. If you've heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have to decide what to do with it as a lost person. Whenever you apply it to your life, and you see what the Word says, and God sees your heart, that you believe what God's Word says, and you want to repent of your sins because you realize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And we've all been there. And then after we get there, there's another phase. Got a little ahead of myself. Every born-again believer is a harvest of the seeds of ministry of the gospel of the Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. And we find that in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. We've all read those verses. The Word was with, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it tells us through all of those verses who the Word is. He was present, as it says right there, originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through him. He's talking about Jesus. And without him was not even one thing made that was coming to being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And once we get that settled in our heart and we get born again, the seeds of the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ has started working in us. But it can't stop there. Now, everything that I've been hearing in our church for weeks and months come out of this pulpit has got to do with, and has probably for a couple of years now, has got to do with the ministry. And that don't mean that it has to be the pastor or an evangelist. We've talked about it, and I'm going to talk about it again in a few minutes. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and through 20 tells us that we are the ambassadors. We represent Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question. In the natural world, if you go and study auto mechanics or anything, once you get into the class to study it, it don't stop there, does it? Because if it did, where are you going to be? Inexperienced. You ain't going to know what to do. I mean, you can't just sign up for auto mechanics class and then they throw you into a real-world life situation, fix a car, you can't do it. You don't know what's going on. Pretty much the same way with the church. Jesus, God, did not intend for us to get born again and just sit there. We've seen it time and time again in Scripture. The parable of the talents is a really good example of that. And we're supposed to be disciples. Sowing the seeds of the Word of God is not a demand from God. It's an instruction from Jesus. But the thing about it is, sowing the seeds of the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus, should be something that happens inside a born-again believer's heart. Now, I understand. I've been there. Sometimes I had to kind of be pushed or led. But once I got Jesus right here in this altar, I didn't have any trouble telling somebody about Jesus. Now, before then, and y'all heard my testimony. The church, we went to one church for 5 years whenever I was growing up. Every Thursday night for 2 hours, we'd meet at 4 o'clock, 4 to 6. We'd go out to a community and we'd go door to door. And I was, I don't know, somewhere around 10, 11 years old. And after a little while, my daddy asked me one day, he said, "Son, do you see what we're doing? Do you realize why we do it?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And I told him, you know, what all I'd heard in church and all that. And because we're, you know, need to invite people to church to get people saved. He said, "You ever thought about doing it?" And I was, no. And matter of fact, that one particular church that we were members of at that time, the first time we went, I didn't realize it. It reminded me a lot of this church. The very first service, they started right here and asked anybody that wanted to stand up and testify. I mean, all you had to do is say, "I love the Lord. I'm born again. I'm glad to be here." That's what some people said. Some people said a lot. Some people said a little. There were quite a few people in that church. I didn't count them, you know, more than it's here today. The only ones that didn't stand up, even the kids did this. And at that time, the only three people that didn't stand up and say and testify was me and my brother and my sister. You know why? The other churches we've been to, we'd never had the opportunity given to us. We didn't know what to do. And I remember myself, I can't speak for my brother and sister. I'm thinking, you know, my daddy stood up, my mama stood up, and I was next because I'm the oldest. I'm sitting beside mama, of course. I'm sitting beside mama because I got to be within hand's reach. I didn't act right all the time. And so it was my turn, and the pastor was standing up here, and he said, "Well, son, do you want to say something?" And I said, "No, sir." And my daddy told me when we got home, he said, "I'm not really getting on to you," but he said, "I'm kind of concerned because, like I'm telling you guys, if you're born again, you know, at least stand up and say, 'I love the Lord.'" And I said, "Well, daddy, I felt kind of," and he said, "What, embarrassed?" I said, "I guess so." I said, "I got real hot all over and everything, you know, and I felt my face turn red." He said, "Okay, son." He said, "I understand, but," he said, "you need to get over that. Because if you're born again, Jesus tells us, you know, we need to testify of him. We need to speak about him. We need to tell other people about him." So he kind of, you know, ushered me into doing the visitation thing to get back around to my original story. I would go knock on doors, and, you know, I didn't do it a lot. Daddy was standing there with me. But it gave me an opportunity to do it. But I'm going to tell you something. Every time I did it, and it wasn't like every Thursday, he'd let me do it two or three times, and then, you know, he'd stop it. But every time I did it back then, I didn't feel anything. You know, I'd got past the embarrassment part. And what that is just the enemy coming against you, trying to squash whatever's coming against you. And it was strong in me because I know now I was not born again. If you're born again, God does not demand you to go out and tell other people about Jesus. But if you're born again, you should want to. If I knew the bank was out here giving away $1 million, why would I not tell my friends and my family? If I knew something bad was going to happen to you guys, I knew it was going to happen, and you didn't have no idea, I'd sure be wanting to tell a person if they're not born again or if they didn't see it. Same way with testifying about Jesus. There's something coming that this world's going to experience, and there ain't but one way out of it, and that's through faith and belief that Jesus is the Son of God. And a lot of people out there don't believe it. That's their choice. But it is our place to go out and sow those seeds of ministry. To bring the people in. To make sure this is a harvest in our life. Now, I posted something on Facebook about a money thing. You know, I'm still standing up here every time I see it. When I seen that number, I said, "Oh my goodness." I've been working a job since I was 13 years old. I'm 64. I worked illegally from 13 to 15, but that's what I did. I'm sorry. I asked the Lord, forgive me. After I was 15, I got a worker's permit. My dad was sick. I went to work, and I helped support our family. I've been working a job ever since I was 13 years old, a public job since I was 15. I've never made that amount of money in 5 days. There's only one reason, this. And it's not because of what I did. Brother Scotty said it a couple of weeks ago. He said, "It is not a good idea and a good thing for a born-again Christian to have a bad attitude." And I was running around work with a bad attitude because I let things pile up on me and didn't deal with it, and I didn't give it to the Lord. I did not let the seeds of ministry come into my heart, even though I'm born again. And I've been born again since 2014. I didn't let it work. Satan can trip you up. If you don't, be very careful. So when I realized what was going on, instead of doing what I was doing, I went back and apologized to my boss. And y'all, I think I might have testified. The 6 years I've been at that company, I've never seen anybody. My boss and the company are real good people, but the business we're in, sometimes they have to push us pretty hard. And I felt like I was getting pushed to my limit and past. So instead of dealing with it as a Christian, giving it to the Lord, I dealt with it in the natural. And it was not good. So I give it to the Lord, and then I went back, and the Lord told me, so you need to go over and apologize to your supervisor, my manager, and that new dispatcher you can't stand. That's what I told the Lord. I said, I can't stand him, Lord. I want to smack him. I told my boss, I said, there's something about him I don't like. And I said, you know I'm a Christian, but I said, when I get around him, I want to forget that, and I want to hit him. And he probably ain't going to tell you. He probably hit me back. And I told my boss, he said, if he says what he says to me again, you'll probably have to fire me. Now, I'm not proud of that. I'm not bragging about it at all. But what I'm telling you is I was not letting the seeds of the Word of God come into my life. I was letting the seeds of the world come into my life, and it was producing a very bad harvest. It got so bad. April is one of the most patient people. About 99% of things is worse. She's got a couple little hang-ups, but I know better than to go there. But most of the time, especially with me, she's really patient. And we was riding to a home from work, and something had happened. And I'm like, boy, I'm tore up about it. She said, you're not, and I asked her something along the lines of, well, what do you think? She said, well, you're not going to like what I say. And I looked at her, and she said, I knew you'd look at me that way. You're not going to like what I say. I said, well, say it anyway. She said, I've said it before, but I'm going to tell you again. You signed up for that job. You've been doing it for almost 6 years. You know what's going on. And if you don't like it, you can either leave or give it to the Lord. Because you come home talking about it. I'm getting sick and tired of hearing it. And I'm getting sick and tired of being around you. It's not you. I know what it is, but she said, you're my husband, so I try to do the best I can. But if you're not going to say anything but complain about it, just please don't talk to me at all. You know, I was kind of relieving my load of stress, you know, talking to her. That ain't what God wants us to do, because if we have the seeds of ministry, and I have the seeds of ministry right here, every bit, everything I needed. And not only that, if I don't have this, I have this. I wasn't using much of any of it. I come to church, and I said, yes, Lord, I love you, Lord. You know, now I'm not going to lie to you. Y'all might have. Sometimes I might have come to church kind of stressed. I might have felt it. If dead, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I tried not to bring it to church. I tried to leave it outside. I'd come to church and worship and play my guitar and go home and, you know, get up, leave here at 9 o'clock at night and get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, which I wasn't complaining about that. I was complaining about people at my job. Now, I don't mean to keep on and on about that, but the point of my story about earning that much money is, when I turned all of that around and I give it to the Lord and let the ministry start working in my life, man, things started happening pretty quick. And it wasn't just money. I feel so much better. My wife feels so much better. And we got our little, you know, Blake probably says I feel a lot better too, because I was getting on him about some stuff pretty hard. I mean, I still like giving him instruction when he needs it, and he ain't really been a lot rebellious, but, you know, he'll shut his mouth and not say nothing. I said, okay, that's what you're supposed to do. But at any rate, I'm better, easier person to be around, because now I give all of that to God, and I said, Lord, okay, I'm going to have to work, you know, 14 hours today, and, you know, it's going to be almost dark when I get home, and, you know, I'm going to be able to go in, say, talk a few minutes, eat supper, take a shower, get in the bed, and do it all over again. That's what I pretty much know what's going on this job when it started. My industry's like that, especially from April until about October. For some reason, people like to use a lot of cement in that time, you know. But anyway, when I turned it around and I started using God's Word, the seed principle is really all it is. I held I didn't hold God to his promise. I held myself to God's promise. In other words, I didn't do what I was doing. I did what God said to do. So then I'm starting to feel better, and the very job that I didn't want to do, as I testified, that nearly felt, you know, I was used to making, bringing home like $600-$700 a week, and the job, it's been a couple of years ago now, somebody was sick, my boss asked me to do it, I testified, I'd give him a hard time, and I asked him, why is he putting it all on me? He said, because I can't trust nobody else to do it the way you do it. Even though I didn't like it, I'd do it right. That shut me up for a little while, but then I come back again. That very same job that was breaking me down financially $200-$300 a week has more than doubled, I testify. So I know my boss is a very busy man because I've been in his place before in the business. So I seen him training some people here about a month or so ago. With all he's got to do, that's a lot on him. Everybody that we had training quit. This is my another new testimony, praise God. Because I'm letting this seed principle work in my life and bring the harvest God intends for me. I'm driving along and I say, I don't know why I was thinking that, but I do. It's the Holy Spirit. When you walk the path God lays out in front of you and you submit yourself to him, he'll put steps in front of you you don't understand, but if you just do what the Holy Spirit says to do, you will never, ever not succeed. It may look like you're not, but you will succeed. So I'm driving down the road in my truck, and I notice, you know, and this is, you know, 6 months ago, and all of a sudden I think, well, you know, Charlie, that's my boss's name. Man, he's really busy. I mean, when I see him now, he's so frustrated, but stressed and tired looking. He's a real nice guy. He don't never say anything hardly at all bad to me, out of the way, you know, like he's stressed. And I thought, man, he's trained people. He's doing this. He's doing that. I know what all he's doing. You know, I'm sitting back here. Now, if we take the principle I'm talking about being a born-again Christian, sitting back on your seat, I'm at work sitting back on my seat. I'm not being all I can be for the company. I am, yes, I'm a person, but with all the experience the Lord has blessed me with in trucking and what I've done, I can help my boss. I can help my company. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. I found out Friday that I did not know another step up. And all I did was do what the Word of God said. And I'm going to say the thought come to me, but it was the Holy Spirit talking to me. Well, I guess I can go in there and, you know, and I can train some. I can, you know, I can do that and help him out a little bit. So I went in there and told him about 3-4 weeks ago. You know, you're pretty busy. We're in busy season. And, you know, I said, I'm not bragging, but with the experience I got in trucking and doing what we do, I've been doing what I do in trucking now for 10 years. And the trailers we use to unload, if people don't train them right, it's a nightmare to unload them. I'm not going to get all into that. So I told him that, and he said, okay, thank you. I appreciate that. So as a matter of not coincidence, I'm at that bad job dropping a trailer one day, and he called me and said, hey, I got the safety guy. I'm going to do a 3-way call, me and you and him. I said, okay. Now, I thought whenever he started doing this that when they got ready for me, they would put me through some kind of little program. And it sure was about a 30-minute phone call. He said, Chris, the safety guy, which he's a born-again Christian too, me and him talk a lot, and he's the one that also helped me to see that other stuff, that I was in a trial and I needed to talk to the Lord. He said, you know, make a long story short, they talked and told me that, you know, I said I wanted to volunteer to train. I said, yeah, I said I'd do that. Okay, we got somebody for you tomorrow, which didn't really scare me, but, Chris is like the type of person that's so organized. He's got like 4 or 5 things, you know, companies this, and he wants you to tell that to new employees, and I know that. But he's not giving me no kind of paperwork or training to do that. But I'm training him to do the job. And I said, well, okay. I said, I thought there was some kind of training I need to go through. He said, we're doing it. You'll be all right. I said, okay. So they give me one guy. I get him trained. They give me the second guy. Now, it's been about a week and a half. Not only do you know I'm helping the company, I have got a mission field. Now, I give out gospel tracts to some of the places I go because some of them, if the Lord tells me to, I'll do it anyway. Some of them's got signs up, you know, don't do that. Not about gospel tracts, but don't be handing out solicitations to our employees. But one place didn't, and I give a guy a gospel tract. Now it's sitting on their control board where everybody can see it. I hope they all read it. It's got Faithway Christian Center's name on it, praise God. Anyhow, so I get to witness to them. Well, what they decide to do with that seed I just planted in them, or whether it is a watered seed, what they decide to do with it, God will give increase. Now, so I've got all this done, and I got my first check after I trained the first guy, and there was nothing on my check for trainer pay. And whenever I went through it, the guy that trained me told me it was $50 a day. So that's what I was expecting. I said, okay. It slows you down a little bit training because you got to talk. I mean, I talked more in the last week at work than I have talked in a long time because I don't usually have nobody around. And I didn't think nothing about it, and I happened to asked my boss, Charlie. I said, I don't think I got trainer pay this past week. And he said, well, you have to talk to Chris about that. He's the one who takes care of it. He's a safety guy. And I said, okay. So it's $50 a day. And he said, oh, no. He said, it's not $50 a day. It's $125 a day. That number I showed y'all, $850 of that was training pay. Whew. Monty can use some extra money. You know, thank you, Lord. What would have happened if I had not volunteered to train? And on top of that, because we needed these new drivers to go to certain places and know them, know how to get to them, I got dispatched to go to them. The new drivers we call trainees, they get paid a flat rate until they get in their own truck. But I get the load pay. Now, it's kind of long hours. I was zipping from Coleman to Montgomery and from here to yonder, pretty long ways away, and some long days. But I was making like $350 a day. And whenever I added all that up and I seen that number, I was like, goodness gracious alive. I got to tell somebody about this. This is God. Because I would not have had that had it not been for the Lord. I would have not had that had it not been the seed of the God's word planted in my heart right here in this church, this very church. I would not have had that had not been the seeds of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ planted in Brother Richard to invite me to church. I would have not had that had not the seeds of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ been planted in Brother Scotty and Sister Teresa to start this church. I would have not had that if the seeds of ministry had not come from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for faith restoration to be. And so forth and so on. I don't know anything else past that. That's enough. Now I want you to think about something else. Look into the future. What is going to be because of the seeds of ministry in your life? What's the harvest going to be? Are you going to obey? Or are you going to sit back, and as bad as I hate to say it, it's the truth, not obey the word of God? Don't get me wrong, I've been as guilty as anybody. Now, I'm not saying you got to go out here and preach on a street corner. But it does not hurt any of us to carry around some gospel tracts in our car and hand them out to somebody once a day. I'm not trying to be mean. If you want to be a one-talent person, you're going to be in trouble one day. You know, at least be a two-talent person, born-again Christian. But I'm telling you, whenever you do that, God put something inside you, you'll be a five-talent Christian. Or a 10, maybe. Who knows? But everything that is inside of us, that Jesus give us, man, I'm a long ways away from everything I had on here. Everything. Jesus just didn't die on the cross to break the law, the dominion of sin in the earth, so we could be born again and go to heaven and live eternally with Him. That's not all He did. That's just the first thing He did. Praise God, He made it so we can confess our sins. And then He goes before the Father. The Father is the judge. Legally, God has to condemn the world and the sin everywhere it is. Our lawyer is the judge's son. Praise God. You can't do no better than that. And that's still just the beginning. We have healing. We have joy. We have peace. We have patience. If we want all these things, we have long suffering. We have temperament. We have something inside of us to actually do the thing that God meant for us to have in the beginning. Be drawn nigh to Him, and He'll draw nigh to us. Now, I'm fairly sure everybody else and everybody in this room is born again. That's, if you're not, praise God, get with the Lord. Because you're missing out on something. If you are born again, do something for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God will not do anything except bless you for it. No matter how it feels, it will not feel wrong, but the enemy's going to come against you and try to make you feel like it's wrong. He's going to make you feel embarrassed. He's going to make you maybe stutter. Now, whenever you do speak the gospel, when you speak the words, you need to know what you're speaking. I can't come to you and tell you there's a big sale at Walmart. There ain't a big sale at Walmart. That's an illustration. I can't come and tell you God's word says something if I don't know what it says. Even if I'm born again, I can tell you the difference in me and my testimony. I got born again, and now, you know, I want to go to church. I want to serve God. I don't much really understand how you can just come to church and not do anything but come to church, but that's just the way I feel. That's me. I'm not going to condemn anybody for it because God's word says what it says. And it is what it is. There's no gray area. There's only it is. And God says, this is what I want for you. Whenever Jesus said in John 10:10, I came to give life, that they may have life. That's, of course, is salvation, eternal life, being born again. That they may have it more abundantly, running over. You can't get extra salvation from your sins. But praise God, you can get extra abundant life from the Lord Jesus Christ and God's word and God's plan for us. Travis said something when he was ministering at the men's meeting, and I do pretty much the same thing. I get up in the mornings and I say, okay, Lord, I thank you for this day. I rejoice in it, even though I don't feel like I want to. And whatever you got for me today, Lord, Holy Spirit, sir, show it to me. Show me the steps the Lord has directed for me. Now, do I take all of them? If I possibly can. Now, if you're not close enough to the Lord, the Holy Spirit dwells inside you. When you get born again, the kingdom of God is inside of us, the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus told Peter, when he asked Peter, who do men say that I am? And then Peter, he asked Peter, who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but only the Holy Spirit, the Father in heaven, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell, the way Jesus said that, if you study it, against the church, the church is not in a position of defense. The church is in a position of offense. We're not holding darkness back. We're supposed to push darkness away. Darkness is supposed to try to hold us back, and it does, and it will. Satan rules this world because of how he rules it. Man give it to him. But we are in a position where we don't have to stand there and do this. We can run headlong into it. But you can't run headlong into a fight much if you don't know how to fight. If you do, you're going to get whooped. I'm going to tell you from experience. Because a long time ago, I tried to fight, and I didn't know how to fight because my daddy raised me not to fight. And I decided one day at school I was going to fight. And a boy younger than me whooped my rear end. But that's beside the point. Being a born-again Christian, when you let the seeds of God's ministry and the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ work in your life, you can run headlong into any fight. But you've got to know what you're doing. Just like Sister Trace and Brother Scott had said before, you don't give a kid a shotgun, send them out there to do whatever. When a born-again Christian comes to church and they're a newly born-again Christian, The ones of us that has been born again for a long time should be able to answer most of their questions. If we cannot, then we get with the Lord and says, the Lord says this about it. And use the word to do it. I would be very embarrassed if a person that wanted to be born again come to me and asked me how to be born again, and me as a Christian couldn't tell them how to do it. That should be embarrassing. It should be. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I know how. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. John 3:16 and 17 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed him should not die, but have everlasting life. And he sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him, the Son, the world might be saved. And Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. And Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Now, years ago when I was not born again, I couldn't do that. Why do I do it now? How can I do it now? It's not that I got such a good memory. It's that I have been in God's Word. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on God's Word. When you get God's Word and you get it inside of you, what you got inside of you will never leave you if you don't let it. Never. When you get that seed inside of you, it is meant to produce a harvest. What we do with it is whether or not it produces a harvest. And I praise God for the seeds of ministry that's come into my life. Have they all been likable? Well, not the ways, but they were all truth. And Jesus said in John 17:17, when he was praying for his disciples and all of us, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. He's talking about him, and he knew that there's going to be printed word of God. And this book right here, the Holy Bible, is God's voice printed on paper. If you don't read it, how can you listen to God? Because you have got to take that seed of ministry and develop a relationship with the Lord to have any kind of a harvest in your life that God has intended for us. Not me, not Brother Johnny, not Brother Scotty, not Brother Richard, not Brother Travis. All of us included. Man, woman, and child. God means for it to happen. Now, he's got his set ways of having it done by his word, and there's ways to follow him. Boy, I skipped way ahead of myself. Oh, well, praise God. I ain't got a whole lot of time left anyway. But I want everybody this morning, the reason we hear so much scripture over and over and over and over again is not because Brother Scotty and Sister Teresa or whoever comes up here is trying to pound something into our head. It's because God is bringing it again and again until we receive revelation about it. There have been things, the Bible verses quoted up here that I can quote because I've heard them so many times. And then one day, boom, I get a revelation. And I'm like, you know, I get up here and yeah. And y'all probably already know it, I'm sure. But it's a revelation to me. When God's word becomes a revelation to you, harvest is going to start happening because that seed is starting to grow. Now, Paul said, how did he put him on paraphrase? I think it was Apollos. He said, for I planted or Apollos planted, but... Yeah, that's it. God gave the increase. They planted, they watered. All seeds have to be tended. I ain't got but about a minute left, so I got to hurry. So to be tended, who's going to tend them? You got a brand new born again Christian comes in our church. They're a new seed. Who's going to tend them? God's going to give the increase. Somebody's got to tend them, got to watch them, got to work them, got to water, just like you do a garden in the natural. If there's not somebody here that has not received revelation about how they're supposed to work their life according to God's word, there'd be nobody here. If the seeds of ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was not, when it was planted, that was not tended in each and everybody's heart, as I said earlier, if we back it up, I wouldn't be here. Richard wouldn't have been here. Brother Scotty wouldn't be here. This church wouldn't be here. We would not be here, very possibly. Somebody else might have started the ministry of church. I don't know. I'm just glad it happened like it happened, because now here I am with my family. I've raised my family in this church. My kids are born again. Are they perfect? No. But I've taught them all I know. What I teach them. I got one still left at home. And they know what right and wrong is. They know what God's word says. And now it's up to them. I planted a seed. But I pray, and I'm going to keep watering it, and I'm going to watch God give the increase. Okay, that's all I got this morning. If y'all got anything to add or say,